Ever wonder how we got so good at talking about things that don't even exist? Ideas, emotions, the future, they're all just concepts, but we weave them into conversation without even thinking about it. It's like the superpower, this language thing. And that's what we're diving into today. We're looking at an excerpt from Reading Human Language. Really fascinating stuff. It's about how do we even get to this point where we're talking about things that, you can't even touch?
It's a big question for sure.
It really is. And the more you think about it, the more amazing it seems.
Absolutely.
Like this piece throws out a crazy number right at the beginning. Over 5,000 languages spoken in the world today. 5,000. Can you even imagine that kind of diversity?
It's incredible, isn't it? I mean,
Wow.
and it makes you realize how much is out there that we don't even know about.
Exactly. 5,000 different ways of communicating, of expressing ourselves. But here's the thing. They're not just random, are they?
Not at all. They have relationships,
Yeah.
connections, kind of like, well, families.
Like the Indo-European family, that's where English fits in, right?
Exactly. And it includes languages as different as, say, Spanish, Russian, even Hindi, all coming from a common ancestor.
Wow, that's wild. So we're all linguistic cousins in a way.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And linguists, they're like detectives, tracing these family trees of languages back through time.
So how do they do that? I mean, it's not like they've got old recordings or anything.
No, but they look for clues in the languages themselves. Patterns in grammar, in sounds, even in the roots of words. Like, you know how some words sound similar in different languages, even if they mean slightly different things?
Like amigo and friend.
Exactly. Those are called cognates, and they're like little linguistic fossils. And by studying them, by really digging into the DNA of languages, linguists can piece together how they've evolved and diverged over thousands of years. It's pretty amazing.
It's like they're using language itself as a time machine.
I like that. It's a way of uncovering the hidden stories of humanity.
So we've got all these languages, all these stories, but the really big mystery is how did we develop this whole language thing in the first place? It's like we can track languages back through time, right? But finding out where language itself came from, that's a whole other thing.
It really is.
Like trying to find the missing link, but for communication.
It's a huge mystery. And unfortunately, we're working with some pretty limited evidence. I mean, we don't have recordings of the first conversations,
Not
or,
prehistoric podcasts. Bummer.
right? Not even a Stone Age transcript. So how do we even begin to piece together something like the evolution of spoken language?
Good question. It's not like we can just, dig up some fossils and instantly understand how our ancestors were talking to each other.
Well, about that, we can look at the archaeological record. Our source talks about cave paintings, for example.
Oh, right, like those handprints and animal figures you see in documentaries.
Exactly. Now, they might seem simple, but those paintings actually point to a huge cognitive leap. They suggest an ability to think symbolically, to represent the world in a more abstract way.
And that the ability for that kind of symbolic thought, that's key for language, right?
Absolutely, it's a fundamental building block.
So maybe those cave paintings, that was our ancestors experimenting with communication, pushing towards something more complex.
It's a fascinating idea to think about. But of course, to go from symbols to spoken language, we have to talk about our own evolution, specifically what was going on with the human vocal tract.
Okay, so we're talking about the physical mechanics of speech, our mouths, our throats, how those evolved to make us such chatterboxes.
Exactly. And one of the key differences between us and, say, our primate cousins is the larynx, our voice box. In humans, it sits lower in the throat.
Lower larynx, higher chance of inventing gossip. I'm kidding, but seriously, why is that important?
Well, that lower position, it gives us a much wider range of sounds, more vocal flexibility to play with. It's what allows us to shape all those vowels and consonants that make up spoken language.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing our ancestors didn't just wake up one day with a perfectly formed vocal tract ready to deliver a Shakespearean monologue. How did those changes actually happen?
Gradually, over a really long period, we're talking hundreds of thousands of years of evolution. But around 100,000 years ago, the fossil record shows that our ancestors had a vocal anatomy that's pretty darn close to ours.
So 100,000 years ago, they could have been talking pretty much the way we do.
The potential was there.
Wow. So what about before that 100,000 year mark? Were they stuck with just grunts and growls, or was there something more going on?
That's a question that keeps linguists up at night. Some think that early communication might have been a lot more about gestures, facial expressions, vocalizations, but simpler, Maybe even more musical in a way.
Musical? Like, were they singing to each other before they could really talk?
It's possible. I mean, think about it. Music is a powerful form of communication, and it relies on things like pitch, rhythm, tone, all elements that could have been present in those early forms of vocal expression.
So we're talking about a slow buildup, maybe, experimenting with different sounds, different ways of getting a message across.
Exactly. The evolution of language wasn't some sudden aha moment. It was a process.
So we've talked about the vocal tract, right? Like how humans evolve this amazing instrument for making all these complex sounds.
Right.
But having the instrument is only half the battle, isn't it? You need something to play on it.
Exactly.
And that's where the brain comes in.
The brain is key. I mean, it's not just about making sounds. It's about attaching meaning to those sounds, putting them together in ways that make sense.
Building sentences, telling stories, dreaming up things that aren't even real.
Exactly. And that's something that really sets humans apart, wouldn't you say?
Totally. But our source mentions other animals, like dolphins. They seem to be doing some pretty complex communication too, right?
Right. Dolphins are fascinating. They actually show some intriguing similarities to humans, cognitively speaking. They can recognize themselves in a mirror, for example.
Really? So they have a sense of self, like us.
It seems that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's evidence that they can understand grammatical structures. So maybe we're not as alone in our language abilities as we once thought.
That's wild. But going back to humans for a second, the source also talks about genetics. Like, how did our DNA play a role in all of this?
Well, there's this gene, FOXP2, that's really important for speech and language. And what's really interesting is that while other primates have a similar gene, theirs didn't undergo the same mutation that ours did.
Okay, so this mutation, this was kind of a big deal for language development.
Researchers think so. It seems to have happened around the same time as those key changes in our vocal tract.
So 100,000 years ago, everything's coming together. We've got the vocal cords, the brain power, and now this genetic mutation that's giving language a supercharge.
It's like all the pieces are falling into place. But even with all that, there's still so much we don't know. Like, was there a single moment when language just appeared? Or was it a really slow process? And what came first, the ability to think in complex ways or the development of language itself?
Yeah, it's like a chicken or egg situation. Did our big brains lead to language, or did language lead to our big brains? So many questions.
And that's what makes this whole field so exciting. It's a giant puzzle.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to put it all together.
It's amazing, though, isn't it? I mean, when you really think about the sheer complexity of language, it's mind-blowing that we can do any of this at all.
It really is. It's a testament to the power of evolution, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think we've done our fair share of brain bending for one day. But hopefully, we've given everyone a lot to think about. We've journeyed from the incredible diversity of languages spoken around the globe right back to the origins of language itself. We've talked about everything from ancient cave paintings to the intricate workings of the human brain and the mysteries still hidden within our very DNA.
It's been quite a ride.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling this is one conversation that's far from over.
Definitely not. This is just the beginning.